Choose your next words carefully, Leonidas. They may be your last.
Madman. You're a madman. Blasphemy. This is madness.
This is Sparta!
Who do we have left? Britney Spears? Cam Kardashian? Paris Hilton? Yeah, that's what we have to look forward to, Kanye West. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. We're global. Shop, S-H-O-P-P-E. Oh, look at you! All right, everybody, I'll be right with you. I'm a good guy. If you attack us, I attack you. Hello, my name is Brian Hammer Jackson, and you're with the Brian Hammer Jackson Show. The flame is powerful. This is a no-win situation. I'll give you a call in about an hour and a half. I survived it, and I'm at the end of it.
Oppressors of generations who have kept you down with myths of opportunity, and we give it back to you, the people.
Brother, it is time for the mortals to pay.
Release the Kraken!
Everybody, welcome to the show. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. We're global. We're heard all over the world. Our ratings are up, and so am I. Welcome to the show. I'm Brian Hammer Jackson. If you'd like to call in, you should know the number because I know it. 319-527-6099. 319-527-6099. That's the number that gets you in the studio. That's the number that gets your voice heard. Title. Subject, it looks like Donald Trump will be your next president. That's it. It does look like that. The poll numbers are up. Even though the election is about a year away, it's like you can't stop the flood. It doesn't matter what he does. It doesn't matter that he may go to jail or rape or whatever. You guys want this guy as your president. Looks like you're going to get it. You're going to get it. Christie was booed today. I think it was yesterday. And see if I can find the sound bite of that. Here it goes. And here's what happened, according to CNN.
Former President Donald Trump is speaking to a gathering of the state's Republicans. Earlier, one of Trump's chief critics scolded the audience after being booed for his opposition to the GOP frontrunner.
Yeah. Well, now it feels like home. Thank you all very much. Your anger against the truth is reprehensible. The problem is you want to shout down any voice that says anything different than what you want to hear.
Okay, let's discuss now with Vanity Fair special correspondent Molly John Fass and CNN senior political commentator Anna Navarro. Anna, it's not good when you're yelling at the audience and calling them reprehensible.
Well, it's Chris Christie, right? So from New Jersey, I think he's used to yelling at the audience and being yelled at the audience. Look, Chris Christie is at single digits, what, 2-3% at best. So, you know, obviously this is not about him winning the nomination, but I do think he's trying to cement his place in history maybe as being one of the Republicans that did speak sense and did speak sanity and did speak truth and did confront Donald Trump and the cult. And so, there's a lot of things that might not be all that good that are going to be in his obituary. This is one of the good things that's going to be in his obituary. Republican nominee in 2024 is not going to be one of them.
But Molly, it really sums things up in terms of where the Republican Party is right now. Asa Hutchinson had a similar chilly reception earlier today as well.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think Chris Christie is a hero by any stretch of the imagination. And I think that if Trump were to become president again, Chris Christie would desperately beg for a job in that cabinet, as we've seen before. I mean, remember, Trump gave Chris Christie COVID. So I don't know. I don't actually give Chris Christie all that much credit. I think he's trying to get a television contributorship. I think he's trying to grow his brand. I think he knows that he's kind of irrelevant. He hasn't held an elected position in a long time. And he's really been on, until this run, he's really been on the wrong side of history.
And Anna, I spoke with Vivek Ramaswamy in the previous hour and was asking about why he's going down in the polls. He is not the flash in the pan that he was, I guess, back in August or whatever it was over the summer. What has happened to Vivek Ramaswamy? I mean, he's blaming it on, well, there's super PACs and there's a hidden Ramaswamy, segment of the voting, block out there in the Republican Party that'll support him. But he's just not where he was. He seems to be heading downward.
You know, I was surprised that he was a flat to begin with, right? I will tell you that a lot of the young crypto bros in my circle, in my family, were taken by him for a good 5 minutes. The women, interestingly enough, not as much or not at all, were quite repelled by the way he behaves. He has no depth. He has no policy knowledge. He has no political experience. He's one of many, and he's not really standing out for anything that he is doing or saying.
Yeah. And Molly, I have to ask you about this because there are all these protests happening across the world today, protesting what's taking place in the war between Israel and Hamas, people calling for a ceasefire, supporting the Palestinians. What do you make of this polling that shows that a majority of Democrats want President Biden to lean toward neither side? And do you think that he's running the risk of having some, perhaps in the Arab American community, vote against him in places, in important places like Michigan, because of his stance on Israel?
One simple but brilliant trick to heat your...
Okay, that's all we need to know. That's all we need to know. Biden's losing. Biden's losing. And I can't, no matter what happens to Trump, he could rape a woman, he can lie. He's on trial right now. Well, he's in New York right now on his fraud case, and he's taking a stand, claiming that his company's worth hundreds of millions of dollars more than they say. I mean, Trump is not there. Only a child would say, oh, my daddy's worth $100 million more, whatever. Trump gets away with it. But no matter what he says, what he does, this guy is winning. And I believe he will be your next president. I really believe that. I say let America go down in flames for 4 years. There'll be more scandals coming up. Just second, 217. Is this who I think it is? Is this Josh? 217, you're live on the air.
Oh, yes. Yes, sir, it is.
How you doing, Josh?
Oh, I'm doing well, considering.
Considering?
All right, you're talking about the country going down in flames. The first week in office, Biden shut down Keystone XL, which would have made our gasoline cheaper. He lifted the sanctions on Nord Stream 2, which basically gave Russia free rein to do whatever they wanted because they were able to control the distribution of oil to Europe. That's why he was able to go in so easily. That's why Putin was able to go in so easily. The value of our dollar, they printed, what, $1 trillion in the last 3 months? You want to talk about the country going down in flames over 4 years? We're there, buddy.
Well, we're not really there. Inflation is high,
are
but
you
we're
sure?
not bad. Inflation's a little high, but we're not as bad as it was when Trump was in office. Trump, tell me.
Are you kidding me?
Trump
are you kidding me?
Really?
Trump
no,
had
not.
Trump
I'm
had the
very...
Abraham Trump had the Abraham Accords. They had people kind of shaking hands, acknowledging each other, and trying to do trade deals where they could go from country to country. There was a little bit more peace there. Biden comes in. Everybody knows he's a softie. He won't do anything about anything. He's Obama 2.0. Yeah, here we are. Russia's in Ukraine.
Go ahead.
Russia's
Tell
in
Ukraine.
We literally have Gazans under Hamas going into Israel. Hezbollah's launching rockets. Yemen's launching rockets. Yes, obviously we shouldn't be involved in any of this, but apparently we are. Apparently we're giving them tens of billions of dollars. We forgot all about Ukraine the moment that those Hamas people went into Israel. This is a joke.
Well, no, it's not a joke. You don't believe
it really
that?
Is.
I'm just asking a question. You don't believe that us funding Ukraine to fight for us, so we don't have to put our own boots on the ground, is a bad thing?
There are boots on the ground in Ukraine. There are American boots on the
officially,
ground in Ukraine,
well,
and there are now.
We don't have soldiers on the ground fighting against Hamas or fighting against.
That's not true.
We do not. Well,
yes, we
okay,
do.
We
are you
a
kidding me?
Bombs
why?
At Syria. We really don't.
Did they just,
Josh.
Dude? Yes, we do. They literally just said that they're going to put more ships in the Mediterranean, which is fine. You know, good to have stuff. You know, I'm fine with them
sure.
being in the Sea of Japan and the South China Sea. I'm fine with them being intimidating. But
right.
there are boots on the ground. They already have videos coming out.
Well, there's not boots on the ground fighting against Russia. It'll be World War III.
They're
now.
Not wearing an American flag on their shoulder, but those are Americans.
We have observers over there, but we don't have our troops on the ground in Israel. We got our battleships on the ground. Well, we don't have them on the ground. Josh, you know this. You know this.
They do, no,
but
they are. They
argument,
they are. Yeah, okay. Go ahead.
Regarding
I was just saying
argument,
that the American... Oh, no, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, let's go to Israel. So you don't believe we should take a stand for Israel? You don't think we should back Israel? You don't think... you know what I do think, before you comment? What I do think, that bear hug, that when Biden got off the plane and Yahoo gave him a bear hug instead of shook his hand, that hurt him a lot. I will say that. That really hurt Biden a lot. What kind of man just go running into another man's arms and give him a big bear hug? That hurt him a lot.
Can I say what kind of man does that, or is that?
What? Go ahead. But you don't think we should have supported? You think we should have stayed out of it? You don't think we should have supported Israel?
No,
Josh.
I think that our motives in that area. When it comes to Israel, we are perfectly placed with that, with them as an ally. Yes, that perfectly places us as an FOB. That's the perfect position as an FOB to handle Iran, to handle anybody else. Great. Other than that, no, I don't really see any strategic reason other than our alliance with the UK, which is what started Israel. I don't see the point of this. We don't need to be involved in regional conflicts. It's going to be another Afghanistan. We're going to be there for 20 years. We can't keep doing this over and over again. It's bad for our morale. It's bad for our finances. We keep throwing money at problems. That's what Biden keeps doing. He keeps throwing money at problems, acting like it's going to solve anything.
I do agree. I am a little worried about but I think we learned about being another Afghanistan, but I think we learned our lesson, especially with Benghazi. But I think, well, you got to remember when Afghanistan, we held Israel's hand. I mean, we told them to stand down. We didn't want them involved in this conflict. I think the reason it's not going to be another Afghanistan is because they're going to unleash Israel on the world. That
Israel
same thing
listen,
with Ukraine.
Does Israel listen
Ukraine.
When we tell them to stand down?
Yeah, they did.
No, they don't.
They did. Stand
how many
down.
Times did they? How many times did they launch missiles into Syria when we told them to stand down about Afghanistan?
Oh, that's like every weekend. That's like a party to every weekend. These guys been for the last 20 years. They've been doing this back and forth crap with each other. And I'm just on your side. I don't know if you're on this side, but I think that Israel should pull back, and it should
nope.
be a two-state kind of. You don't
yeah,
think they
that would be
back?
Great if there was. That would be great if there were two states there. That would be awesome. But the Palestinian people are not going to do that because their entire motive of staying there, they're not accepted in Jordan. They're not accepted in Lebanon. They're not accepted
right.
in Egypt. Why is that?
Right.
Why is that? No. That's important to understand. They're not accepted there because they are the worst of the worst. They're not
yes.
They don't contribute.
They're nomads. They're gypsies.
Anyway.
We understand that. No, nobody wants them. Egypt didn't want them, but they finally opened up their gates for humane purposes. But they don't want
I
them.
I think that the best solution in this situation is for Gaza
sure.
to be given to Egypt if Egypt will accept it, but they won't.
They won't.
Gaza is just a part
they
of
won't.
Egypt now. I know they won't because Palestinians are horrible.
Yeah. Yeah, they are. But I think here's the problem. I really think that Israel's going to wipe them out. They don't care. It's almost the same thing as reverse when you hear, well, we want to wipe out the Jews. Our main goal is to kill all Jews. I think Israel has the same mindset with the Palestinians.
Nope.
Well, they say it's not the Palestinian
people. That's not
true. People,
no, you look at how they treat people. No, you look at how they treat their conflicts. They drop flyers all over the place. They play it on the radio. They make phone calls to the managers of buildings saying, hey, we're about to bomb the crap out of that, so get out of there. Get the women and children out of there. Yeah, that's
right.
never happened before.
Well, it's the art of war. I mean, that's the rules of war. And because the United States is backing them, and Biden put that in place so we don't look like we're backing slaughtering children in hospitals and shit. So it's just one
they
of the
didn't
rules
do
of war
that. They bombed a park. A Hamas bomb went off over a parking lot, injuring and maybe killing a dozen people. But no, that whole hospital thing was a farce too. Yeah, everything is ridiculous.
You don't. Wait a minute. What do you mean it's a farce? Wait. You made a comment. What do you mean it's a farce about the hospital over 700? Was it 700 people died?
Israel did not bomb a hospital in Gaza.
Who did?
It wasn't a hospital. It was a failed launch of a missile from Hamas that landed in a parking
Very
lot
good.
Next to a hospital.
I agree. You and I both agree on something. I agree 100%. I do agree on that. But that doesn't matter because that went out anyway. It went out anyway. And
I'm aware, but that wasn't the Israelis. How are you going to blame the Israelis for what Hamas did to themselves?
Well, the Middle East did blame the Israelis. They gave Syria and gave Egypt. Come on, give me my head. I got brain farts all over the place.
The Yemenis, they kept launching. Yeah,
they,
yeah.
That's
Hezbollah
all they needed to
in,
hear. Right.
I know.
And,
I'm aware of that. And you know what? It's exactly because of that, whether or not absent facts, because they responded the way that they did, everyone was in an uproar, everyone was really angry about it. That's exactly why we don't need to be involved.
Okay, but how do you blame Biden for that? How do you blame
Biden,
his administration for that?
Because he's soft.
Yeah. What? No,
he's
they're
soft.
Blaming Netanyahu for that crap. But he had his mind on other things, and they let their security slip away, and they were not keeping tabs on what was going on with the other in Gaza. But they did not blame Biden on that. Biden didn't have them come across here and let them go in and rape and kill and stab children. You can't blame his administration for that, Josh. Come on.
Time out.
Come on.
People do think no. When we have weak leadership in America, people do things across the country that they wouldn't have done. They are launching missiles out of North Korea, Iran. No, just aggression. Just aggression. I'm not even talking about a conflict. I'm talking about aggression. They raise their tactics. North Korea going back to launching missiles. Iran is over there talking crap again. None of that happened when Trump was sitting there saying, F around and find out. Do you want to learn how Americans handle things? It's up to you.
Yeah, and they send love letters to our enemy, and they send love letters back, and North Korea and Trump
it's
are in bed together,
love letters.
And Russia, and,
Jesus
and
Christ,
not
man.
To mention Trump.
He walked across the DMZ into North Korea without security.
Yeah.
Now that
yeah,
isn't
and that's
that,
a disgrace.
No.
That's
how is
a disgrace.
That a disgrace? That is
because
a show
we never
of strength.
Show of what? What was accomplished
it's,
then? You know, after he did it, Josh.
The moment
North Korea is still. North Korea is more powerful than it used to
they
be.
They did not launch.
They probably
they
have.
Did not
they probably developed a
missiles.
Nuclear weapon by now.
I know.
They were launching missiles
they did
after
not,
that.
They did not test missiles while Trump was in office. After,
oh, come
after
on,
all
Josh,
that nonsense?
No, that's not true. That
no,
is
yes, they
not
did.
True.
Yes, they did.
Okay.
They stopped. All
right.
They might have still been developing something, but they stopped launching missiles. And I'm not saying.
Okay.
It's because. What would. Are you kidding me?
I'm listening
they
to
did
you.
Stop.
I'm not. Okay. So they behaved. So you're saying they behaved yourself, and Trump's out of the office, so they build up their arsenal again. They're testing missiles again. They probably have the capability of developing a nuclear missile within 2 years. So, okay, Trump's out of the office, so now we can go and annihilate the United States of America now because, you know, you only hold
no.
for 4 years.
The smaller countries like North Korea, no, they got more comfortable. The bigger countries like Russia were able to go into Ukraine the way that they did because they shut down Keystone XL and they opened up and lift sanctions on Nord Stream 2. That's what made that possible for Putin to go into Ukraine the way that he did because he had a stranglehold on him.
Right. I agree. But remember, Trump was in office when Ukraine was under fire, and Trump blackmailed him, said, you know what, I'll put a stop to this, but you owe me a favor. Do you remember that kind of thing? Like, you know, I'll do this for your enemies. I'll
you're
going
to have to fight
you
that.
Do... Huh? No, fight he that. Did. He asked for a favor. He's asked for a favor before he protects
Ukraine.
When did Ukraine.
He ask, are you talking about Ukraine when he was asking for evidence when Biden went in and said
when
that
he
if you don't
asked
file,
Ukraine
fire
to
that
find up. Shit on Biden's son, on Hunter Biden. That's what he wanted. And
because,
that's the favor
you know
that he
how
wanted.
That happened?
Oh, okay. Tell me how
yes.
it happened.
Yes. Information, yes. It's not astonishing that somebody would look for corruption against their political opponent. Everybody has done that since the beginning of time. Dirt on their political opponent?
No,
who didn't?
No. I mean, we get dirt on our political. We do it the right way. We don't ask a foreign government to investigate another foreign government to get dirt on our people in the United States of America. Come on, Josh.
Viktor Shokin? Viktor Shokin? Nobody?
Yes. What about him? He's a nice guy. What about him, Josh?
What?
Josh,
he was fired at the behest of Joseph Robinette Biden Jr. because he was investigating the son, his son, who is on the board of Burisma. Yes, that is a reason that you should ask questions. Is that the American government pressured a foreign government to fire the lead attorney investigating corruption when a member of that American government's son was on the board? What?
I'm going to play, because our memories are, you know, sometimes they could be slanted after a series.
I'm correct. That did happen.
Okay, that's why I'm going to play it.
He's on camera. He's on camera bragging about it.
Okay. But this is 4 years ago, everybody, and sometimes I'm not saying Josh is wrong. I'm just saying sometimes our memories don't match up. But I'm going to play it, and this is what happened 4 years ago when Trump asked Ukraine president to do us a favor. I'm just going to play it. Of course, this is according to MSNBC, but I'm going to play it. And I'm going to play it, and we'll talk about it on the other side. But we got to hear the facts first, just basic facts. Not the opinion facts, but just the basic facts of what happened. Here we go. I'm going to play it, Josh.
Parliamentary win, and Zelensky. Zelensky discussing the reforms he's making. President Trump then talks about how much the United States does for Ukraine. Zelensky agreed and then said, quote, "I would also like to thank you for your great support in the area of defense. We are ready to continue to cooperate for the next step. Specifically, we are almost ready to buy more javelins from the United States for defense purposes." Trump immediately follows saying, quote, "I would like you to do us a favor, though, because our country has been through a lot and Ukraine knows a lot about it. I would like you to find out what happened with this whole situation with Ukraine." They say CrowdStrike. CrowdStrike is the name of the cybersecurity company that investigated the DNC server hack in 2016. Trump continues, "I guess you have one of your wealthy people, the server. They say Ukraine has it. There are a lot of things that went on, the whole situation. I think you're surrounding yourself with some of the same people. I would like to have the Attorney General call you or your people, and I would like you to get to the bottom of it." The president then brings up Robert Mueller's testimony before Congress the day before, quote, "As you saw yesterday, that whole nonsense ended with a very poor performance by a man named Robert Mueller, an incompetent performance. But they say a lot of it started with Ukraine. Whatever you can do, it's very important that you do it, if that's possible." Zelensky follows, "Yes, it's very important for me and everything that you just mentioned earlier. For me as a president, it's very important, and we are open for any future cooperation."
Now it's very important there, Robert. The president, Zelensky, then starts talking about Giuliani. We know he's been calling. He's going to come.
We can go on and on and on. That was 4 years ago. And let me just tell you, there were rumors that Ukraine had a server. And this server had a lot of information about the misdoings or misdeeds of Hunter Biden. So Trump says, Ukraine says, "We need your help, blah, blah, blah." Trump goes, "Yeah, I give you help, but I need you to do me this favor to look into this server." That's what happened, Josh, before we even helped.
Are you talking about Eastern Europe being corrupt as hell? Because everybody already knew that.
Well, but to be honest, Ukraine is not our ally at this point. They're not our ally now.
No, they have never been our ally. We shouldn't care about what happens over there.
I have to explain. You're right. But the reason we have an investment over there is because we know we learned lessons in the past with Hitler, and we're afraid that's going to do it again, that Russia is not going to be satisfied with just Ukraine, and we don't want them on our border of Poland. Polish people are getting a little nervous about this. We don't want Russia to take over Ukraine and end up being at our border of our allies. And they're afraid that they're going to not stop at Ukraine. They can go right over the border to Poland and move on like Hitler did in the past. And that's what's going on here. And
that's not really true, though, because the Polish, the ridiculous arms supply that we've given Poland over the past, 60 years, no, they're not going into Poland.
Well,
they go into Poland, we're
going to
drop bombs on Moscow.
We don't, well, no, well, they're afraid that's going to happen. I know paranoia on history and what people do, but I'm saying this is what the threat is to the U.S. of A. They're afraid that it could develop into World War III. Putin's going to make a move and draw us into this war.
Then why does Biden keep doing things to allow that to happen?
What do you mean? Biden's supporting Ukraine.
He just said
he's keeping our boots off the ground here. He doesn't want us in there.
Yeah, but I know, but that's why the conversation is so hard to have, because we can talk about Ukraine and we can talk about Israel. We're not talking about them in the same sentence. I'm talking about how he said we're going to give billions of dollars in aid to Israel to handle Hamas. And then he said we're also going to give $100 million in aid, humanitarian aid, to Palestine. And if Hamas doesn't steal it, there might be more down the road. Of course they're going to steal it. We already know what happens in the Middle East.
You know, politics is all
it's a joke.
Corrupt. It is. We get in the bathtub with our enemies. It's the Rome thing. My enemy's enemy is now my friend, and until my friend stabs me in the back, and they're back to being enemies again. It's you get to the 4 years of your presidency and saying, like Obama, No scandal here. But you go in bed with the bad guys. But here, but we're going to war here. I mean, is Israel going to drag us into war?
We do not need to do that.
I don't know. Right now we got Iran.
To be a part of this.
We got Iran firing on our ships off sea and firing at our soldiers secretly. We're not really reporting it. We're firing back. Well, we're not really firing back at Iran, but Hezbollah, if I'm pronouncing it right. And they got this rhetoric about let's kill the Americans now, let's destroy them like we're going to do the Jews. But they're not doing it so blatant. They're kind of doing it like, well, you know, we don't want to get into this war, but we're praising the Hamas terrorists and we kiss their hands and Allah blesses them. And they're doing that.
They're
kind of
all
shit.
Funded. Hezbollah and Hamas are funded by
sure.
the same people.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are. So eventually Biden says knock it off because the first bomb's going to go into Iran. They don't want that. So
we don't need to bomb Iran. The guy who the head of Hamas is in Qatar.
No, Qatar. Well, I don't know who Qatar is. I mean, right now, well, let's explain
Qatar,
who Qatar is.
Qatar, whatever you're
going to
call
wait,
it, Qatar.
Whatever. Let's explain who Qatar is. They are the people, and I really don't know, but they're the mediators right now that we have.
No, they are not.
About
they literally, now. They are housing. They are housing the head of Hamas in Qatar.
Don't know. Well,
we do. That's
the
a
public.
Fact that's a,
well, here's what the public.
That's a statement of
well,
fact.
I have to explain it though, Josh. I mean, I know you have the insight on it, but I have to explain it. That Qatar or Qatar, these are the negotiators right now with the hostages. That's basically it that we have to deal with. That has directly
which is a
Hamas.
Joke. You literally
okay.
have name okay the Mexican drug cartels. They
yes.
kidnapped 100 Americans. You're over there talking
yes.
to somebody in Cuba that is the head of one of the crime families, and you're trying to negotiate releasing prisoners. What the hell are you talking about? No,
it's our only negotiation we have. It's our only people that we can keep. And let me tell you something. Releasing 2 hostages, 3 hostages, you know that's a delayed point. That's just we're just delaying you so we can do something. I don't know what's going on. You don't have, you have 200 hostages and you're releasing 2 or 3. This is a major delay tactic.
After raping raping and beating the crap out of them and beating them
agree.
Within an inch
I
of their life.
Agree.
Yeah,
there
should be no peaceful. I understand why Israel is doing what they're doing, but I understand as
uh-huh.
well that Hamas wanted them to respond the way that they did because they drum
yeah.
up support. They knew that poking that bear and that bear coming across with that claw slashed right across the chest of Hamas, bombing the crap
right.
out of Gaza. They knew that was going to happen. The rest of the Muslim world doesn't give a crap about Palestine, but it doesn't matter about the rest of the world. You have some liberal arts college student in New York over there waving the Palestinian flag saying from the river to the sea. Are you kidding me?
Hold on, Josh. 5-6.
I
know. Hold on one second, Josh. Good point. 562, you're live on the air with Brian Hammer Jackson, and welcome, Pat. 562, you're live on the air. Okay. There are some people who just want to listen. If you want to talk, all you have to do is press the number 1 on your phone. It'll raise your hand, and I'll open your mic. There's 562. Would you like to say something? 490. You're live on the air. Okay. I'm gonna put you in mute, but if you want to talk, just hit the number 1 on your dial, and I can open up your phone. It'll tell me you want to talk. Welcome, Ms. Patricia Oberlin, the world-famous psychic of the world. And this show is sponsored by Patricia Oberlin's Bakery, home of patty cakes. That's right. Try the double food cake and the angel food cake. She doesn't care. She plays both sides. She's a psychic of all psychics. Welcome to the show, Patricia. Hello. Really? Okay. Oh, God, I'm not
he came in
well.
So hot.
I know. Patricia, okay.
That was a hell of
well,
an intro.
It's live, everybody. Well, I'm going to leave. I'm assuming it's Patricia. Let me see. 905, you're live on the air. Let me see. I'm assuming it was Patricia. 905. All right, I'm going to leave your mic open. I'm thinking it's Patricia. I'm going to leave your mic open if you want to talk. There you go. I know she has company. Josh, I think we both agree what's going on. But to put this Hamas-Israeli conflict.
No, I'm not putting that on Biden. I'm talking
war?
About.
Well,
I'm saying that
I'm
the confidence that they had to attack in this moment fed off of the confidence that Putin went into Ukraine and the confidence of China talking crap about going in and taking Taiwan and Iran raising the stakes. I'm saying that it is a small, tiny little faction that caused the most amount of harm, not because they would have individually done it, but they're reading the cards on the table. They're seeing that other people are doing stuff, and they decided to act now because of Biden's failure and other places.
When you say they, who are you referring to, Ukraine or Hamas?
Hamas.
Which one are you for?
Hamas.
Josh, come on. That's a long road to get
they
to
wouldn't
that point.
Have done, they wouldn't have done what they did if the cards were not on the table for other countries.
I do not agree. First of all, those tunnels, it took them a long time to get those tunnels to do this. It took them like 2 or 3 years to even build those tunnels. And this was planned way before. I think this was planned before Biden was in office. It wasn't spontaneous. This was not a spontaneous attack. This was a planned attack. It came from the air. It came from the ground.
When Biden made that deal, that prisoner exchange deal with Iran, and gave them $6 billion as a kicker, 2 weeks later they did this.
Okay. They did not have the money.
They had the support.
Go ahead, Josh.
And I'm saying what happened after they did this? Biden's administration was like, put a freeze on that $6 billion. Why the hell are we giving our enemies money? Yes,
it wasn't our money in the beginning. It was their money we held. It's not our money. That's their
the
money that we held.
The $6 billion on top of the prisoner exchange was
their
money?
That's their money. It's not our money. It didn't come from the United States. It's the money we
to
held
Iran.
From them. Yes, that's the money we freezed. Iran, that's their money. Technically, we froze it. And we decided to unfreeze it.
We froze
it
after giving them $6 billion.
No, Josh, the money.
Oh, dude, that's what happened.
Oh, Josh. Oh, my God, Josh, no, that's not true. The $6 billion
was the money. We didn't give Iran
$6
billion?
Okay, technically, yes, but it was not our money. That's their money. That's the money that the government froze. And we're going to give it back to them. It didn't come out from the USA. You know.
And then what
Josh.
Happened immediately after? What happened immediately after? They froze it again. So is it their money?
Yes.
If we have the ability
yes.
to, it's not. If we have the ability to freeze and decrease the value or stop them from using it, is it theirs? No.
You behave yourself. Stop it, Josh. You know better. Now you know what you're doing. What are you doing? You're what do we call it? You're playing me, Josh. You know better. You're a smart guy.
I do not know. My point is that we do not need to be involved in this regional conflict in Europe or in the Middle East.
Yeah.
I do not care. It's not our people's lives on the line. It's not our dollars that need to be sent over there. If they're going to slaughter each other like they've been doing for millennia, let them just go about their business. Let them figure it out themselves. That has nothing to do with us.
Oh, my God. Israel is our ally, Josh. What are you going to do? You want us to abandon our ally?
They are. Why
are
they
in trouble?
Why are they our ally?
Well, why are they our ally? Well, we promised Israel when it goes with World War II, and nobody wanted the Jews. We took part of the Palestinian land, and we made it Israel.
I know who caused that to happen. No,
yes.
The UK. It was a creation of the United Kingdom.
Well,
they held the land.
UK,
they gave
yes.
it to the Jews.
But it was also part of Russia. Yeah. Russia did not want any more Jews in their country. There's a lot of Russian Jews. Russia did not, after World War II, Russia did not want to. It's the same thing with the Palestinians. Nobody wants to deal with them. No Middle Eastern countries want to deal with the Palestinian. It was the same thing after World War II.
But just what you just said is exactly the point. How many dozens of Muslim countries are there, and nobody wants to take in these poor Muslim people in Palestine? Yeah, there's only one Jewish state. There's only one.
But what's your point?
It was a creation of the United Kingdom who held the land, and they screwed over the Arabs in World War II, the Saudis. They were promising the land to the Saudis.
Well, they didn't screw them over. They paid them. But go ahead.
No, bullshit. They promised that land to the Saudis, and then they gave it to the Jews.
Okay. All right. They made a deal. They made a deal.
Yeah,
okay,
they made
so
a deal.
It's part of, so there's part of – now Israel is part of in that land and develop into Israel. Okay? So it's a deal.
Yes.
And – but they're still our ally. That's the
they
point.
Are our ally because the United Kingdom is our ally.
It doesn't matter. It does,
yes, it does.
Not, it
if the United Kingdom, if the United Kingdom were not our ally, we wouldn't give a crap about Israel.
But it doesn't matter. They're still our ally. It's that's the fact.
I'm
fact.
Aware. I know, but I'm saying
kinda,
why. It's important to ask why.
Why? Why
do we care so much? Why do we? Why do we invest
because
so much
we made a
of
vow.
Our money into this?
Russia made a vow. France made a vow. UK made a vow to put the Jews.
It was the creation of the United Kingdom.
Okay. But even Russia consented to that because Russia did not want the Jewish people in their country. A lot of the Jewish people to migrate into Russia.
I know. And when they were talking in Nazi Germany, they were talking about sending the Jews to Madagascar. I'm aware of that. I'm just saying they were just trying to ship the Jews off of the continent. I understand that.
I agree with you.
I know,
you.
But I'm saying – but in modernity, the reason that we pay so much and we do all this crap for Israel is because of our actual ally who created them. They're our it's a second-tier ally.
Okay. But the fact of it is still our ally. Whether – is it wrong to have sex with your second cousin, even if she's hot – she's still your cousin, but she's once removed. She's not your first cousin. And my second cousin's very hot. Is it still wrong to have sex with her, even though she's once removed from the initial cousin?
Yes.
Okay, Dan, I got to learn that lesson. Okay, now you tell me. Thanks a lot, Josh.
I'm learning so much right now.
I know you are. Well, you know, I do think Donald Trump will be the next president.
He's going to be the president again.
I do. I do believe it. I'm sad to say it's going to be true.
If it's the American narrative perfectly, the redemption arc is perfect.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, once he becomes the president, Donald Trump vows to lock up his political enemies if he returns to the White House.
No, they're doing that already.
They are doing that already. What do you mean they're doing that already?
How many of his attorneys just pled guilty? How many of Donald Trump's attorneys just pled guilty in Colorado, in Georgia? They didn't plead guilty because they actually thought they were guilty. If you listen to what they said when they were on the campaign, they were like, I was just doing my job. I was taking care of things. I was asking questions I was supposed to ask. And then they come out and they're like, I'm a good Christian woman. And I thought that I was doing the right thing, and then facts on the table, blah, blah, blah. Nonsense, man. This is a banana republic. This is kangaroo court and banana republic nonsense.
You leave my kangaroo out of it. He's a comfort pet in my courtroom. Nice boy. I need him work.
You know what?
He's our comfort pet.
Brian, you would be the only person to have a kangaroo as one of those therapy animals.
He will be a therapy animal. You leave him alone.
You
gotta
lean back on that tail and kick the crap out of you. But go ahead.
That's right. Don't miss the Bert. Oh my God. Donald Trump vows. I like Lynn Beck. I don't know where he went wrong.
I don't
former
after
president.
What you just said.
You don't. You don't like Lynn Beck now. Glenn
after
Beck.
After what he just said, no.
Will you please?
He was always a question
audience?
Mark. He was always
he
a question
would.
Mark because
he was a liberal conservative. I put that title on him, but he tried to be unbiased. But Josh, give people
That's
an idea
cute.
Who Glenn Beck was. I kind of like Glenn
so
Beck, but give
Glenn,
him an idea.
So Glenn Beck is one of those people. He is he's a Mormon, and he did some great stuff. Like when we were trying to get people out of the Middle East, he sent a fleet of his own, pick people up and get them the hell out of there. God bless him for that. But what he just said was that to stand with Israel, to stand by Israel, to serve the Jewish people and try to protect them, you know, it's like it's biblical. It feels like it's, you know, like a call of fate. Like that's what he just did. And he's basically asking Netanyahu to give him like carte blanche citizenship to Israel. I don't appreciate when people are asking other countries for citizenship. Because if you have $250,000, you can go buy citizenship in Grenada right now.
Well,
I don't appreciate
you know,
that. I don't like that he was like, oh, yeah, Israel, it's you know, you have a feeling in your chest. It feels like we should be helping. It's like, why?
But is Glenn Beck Jewish? I thought he was.
No,
Jewish,
he's a Mormon. People
what?
Make jokes about how many wives does he have. Does one wife get jealous
oh, really?
Of the other wife?
Nice guy. Who would are we taking on one woman? I mean, just a brave man taking on more than one woman. I can barely handle one. Imagine having three or four wives, man, yelling at you and nagging at you and bitching at you. Who would
no,
do
no,
that?
You just need to get that spray bottle. You just got to spray him in the face like a cat. That's how you handle that.
Oh, Jesus.
I'm sorry. My wife
had,
is Filipino.
You know, you made a comment. I had six people in the room. As soon as you made that comment, they all left. They really did. Spraying them in the face like a cat. They're all gone now. Joshua.
Oh, man.
You
that
sure
was really easy.
The room.
I've said so many more offensive things. That's such
said
a low
more.
Bar.
Yeah, they got an idea. Okay, I know where this show is going. Spraying women in the face like cats. Okay, man. We just we thought this guy
okay,
was
okay, that
serious.
Was actually hilarious, though.
Jeez, I've never seen six people leave so fast. The poll numbers.
Mm-hmm.
I hate to say it, folks. I hate to
Rasmussen
say it.
Rasmussen or
Trump? Mm-hmm. No, this
where
is
are the
according
poll, where
to
are the polls coming from?
Where this poll? Let me see. Let me see where they're coming from. And it was a credible poll too. Until I get my computer slow, but it was credible. It shows Donald Trump leading in some swing states as much as 11 points over Biden.
Mm-hmm.
Much as 11 points. And they don't lie. They're credible. I mean, the Democrats are shitting in their pants right now, even though the election is, 8 months away? Something like that?
Yeah. They just need to cry racism and sexism harder.
Well, the Democrats do whine a lot. I'm the first one. I said, I'm tired of this whining. And I knew, by attacking Trump all this time, from 4 years, from 3 years, and taking McCord and all this stuff, and then Colorado saying, you know what, I don't think he deserves to be on the ballot, and Trump suing him to take him off the ballot, I think it's a wrong move. And they're saying, some Democrats, this is in Colorado, are saying, you know, in part of the 14th Amendment, Section 3, that insurrection, those who do the insurrection against the United States should not be, basically, you know.
You'd have to be federally charged to remove somebody from the ballot, though, which is the joke, is that he's not being
that is true.
Imprisoned federally.
I'm going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. Stay with me, Josh. I just got to answer this call.
Gotcha.
Quick break. Stay with me. And I can't take a break. My computer's not acting right. Okay, here we go. Be right back.
While you are sleeping, while you're far away dreaming.
here we go. Thank you for... Okay. Josh? So, are you a Glenn Breck fan, or did he just lose your...
Do what now?
Glenn Beck.
No, I...
Did he just lose your vote of confidence?
No, I don't really trust Mormons by default. So,
why?
Why? Because they took the Word of God, made their own book about it, and they like to do stuff to kids. Not a big fan of that behavior.
They do, Joshua. All right, we're not gonna go into that.
Is there prophet not in prison right now?
I don't know. I mean,
he is. He really
you can
is.
Do. Some people can say the same argument with Catholics and priests and moving kids.
Yeah, but what's the difference? If I find out a priest is diddling a kid, that priest is going to be on missing persons poster. So.
Yeah, but you made a statement that if you know that the Mormon religion was doing it and the Catholic, what's the difference? That the Catholic's been doing it for years. What's the difference?
But the Catholic men would. Do stuff to, they wouldn't treat the diddler as a prophet.
Well, they did it worse. They moved his ass so he couldn't be tried and found, and meanwhile they put him in
No, that was the church, not the people. That was the church,
okay.
Not the people. The people would mess stuff up.
Some people will argue the same thing, you know, with going into some churches, and I'm sure not just a Catholic church, Mormon church. I'm sure there's pedophiles.
Oh no, everybody has this thing. Yeah, everybody has that thing about diddling kids.
I'm not saying
everywhere. Everybody.
No, Josh, don't put that in my mouth. I'm not saying every church does that.
No,
I'm just saying.
I'm not saying every church. I'm saying every religion.
I don't know.
Every
I'm not saying
group
that
of people that deal with children, people
I'm
get
not
into these organizations
that
to be around kids.
I'm not saying,
I am.
No. So you're saying the YMCA is suspect? Are you saying the Boys and Girls Clubs are suspect? Are you saying
What was that guy who was the doctor for the female Olympics? He did a lot of stuff out of the YMCA.
USC. He was at USC, and he diddled the Olympic team. A lot of women on the Olympic team. He was a female doctor. Was he an OBGYN at USC? He was something like that. That he was diddling some of our Olympic
He
girls.
Was a physical therapist for the Olympic team and a bunch
of
other colleges.
Oh, was he? Was he a physical therapist? Oh, okay. I thought he was an OBYN.
Okay.
Well,
my point in that situation is that people that – when there are organizations built around – it's no different than the Boy Scouts. It's when people – when there are organizations built to guide children – people with sick afflictions will go in and try to be a part of it for access to those kids.
Right.
It's the same thing every – yeah, it's all around.
Yeah,
it's horrible.
Peg claim – okay, I know we're going to get more in, but there's a lot of people who are good Mormons. I mean, Mitt Romney.
Yes,
isn't
there
he
are.
A Mormon?
Most Mitt Romney is an idiot, but okay.
Okay, but is he a Mormon? I don't know.
Yeah, he's a terrible person, but okay.
Oh, I think why do you say Mitt Romney's a terrible person? I think he's a great person. Do you think what about God, I can't even think of him right now. He just passed away 2 years ago. He was a prisoner. He was a prisoner in Vietnam. He ran for office. Come on, my head's going crazy.
This is your
point,
Megan. Who?
What about it? No, who am I talking about? He passed away. He was a Republican. He ran against Obama. He ran against Obama. Who am I thinking of?
McCain.
Yeah. What about John McCain? I mean.
I don't like him either. He's a war hawk. He was a war hawk. And his daughter's
a war
hawk. Yeah.
He
was a war hawk. So
was
his daughter.
For his country.
Yes,
he stayed. When they were going to let him go, he stayed and with his men, and he suffered brutality through the whole war. He's a hero.
Yeah, that's horrible. Yeah,
okay.
That's horrible. But he was also calling for war, which we don't need.
Every political leader, you know, it's
sad to say, you know, war helps our economy.
Not Ramaswamy, not Donald Trump.
Oh, Jesus.
I don't know what DeSantis would do.
Oh, Jesus. Can you imagine that dude? Can you imagine that dude as president? Oh, Jesus Christ. Something in his background tells me he should be locked up. I mean, there's something about him that just stinks. You know what I mean?
Well,
something about
him.
Yeah. Something about him.
Really?
Just makes me want to say, look closer into his background. I know he's a tech guy. I know he ran his own company.
He's not a tech guy. He's a farmer. He was a medical. He started a medical thing, pharmaceutical thing.
But didn't he start off as tech?
No, he made his money starting a pharmaceutical company, and then later on he went to challenge BlackRock.
Okay, well, pharmaceutical companies—that's the worst drug dealers ever. You know, they have the backroom deals. That's worse than being a real estate agent right now. He probably paid off a lot of doctors to get his little samples to people's veins. Come on. Anyway, I'm not going to get
into
that.
The first hit is free.
Jesus. You scared away four people, Josh. People are starting to come in again. Spraying women in the face like a cat kind of guy.
That's
like
hilarious.
They're not serious. It is. 111. There's 3 111s in the studio. I'm not going to go through you individually. If you want to talk to us, and if you're a woman and you're afraid to be sprayed in the face by a water bottle, don't worry about it. We got security here against Josh.
It's not like they're in the UK and getting acid baths, you know what I mean? So,
hit number one on your phone if you want to talk to me, and I can see your hand being raised, and I'll go to you. If not, I understand your privacy. I'm going to try to be anonymous, too, if I'm talking on this show. I don't want anybody to know who I am. But hit the number one if you want to talk, and I'll open up your phone. We still have Pat. I know Pat has company. She has company. And I'll go to her one more time. No, she didn't. But I'm sure she's shielding you and our show against her company. She doesn't want them to know that she listens to this show. But, Pat, I'm going to go to you one more time. If you'd like to say hello, you can. Pat. Okay. She knows she could. Her mic is open. So Chris Christie is having a hard time. People are falling by the wayside. We already know that Pence suspended his candidacy running for president. Chris Christie's having a hard time. I think he's having an identity problem here.
Walking, breathing with his diabetes.
Oh, God. You have nothing nice to say about these people, do you? You have nothing. What is diabetes? So now you don't like people with diabetes? I'm going to lose half my audience here, Josh. We love diabetic people. We love diabetic people. Leave them alone, Josh. I need people. He's having a hard time. He's having a hard time.
Because that Donald Duck statement ruined – I mean, he didn't have a chance to begin with, but after he's like, Donald Duck, like, it's done. Nobody cares what he has to say. Nobody cared in the beginning, but then he made that stupid joke, and it's like, you're dumb. Why nobody cares? Like, I don't know. It's done. It's like when Pence told Tucker Carlson, he's like, that's not my concern. His campaign was over at that moment. So people keep doing stuff to end their campaigns. And, yeah, Christie was never going to be president. He's – no.
He had a shot, but he's no hero. We can go back to he's the governor of New Jersey. And then he goes on the beach, and he's in people's faces, and they're yelling at him. He's yelling at, you know.
Doesn't matter what he says. What he says is not important. He doesn't say anything of value. He's not talking about policy prescriptions that we could actually use to move forward in a better way. He just insults people, and he talks really loud. He looks like an almost deflated balloon. Not cool, man. Because if you're going to vote for somebody, if you're going to have a leader of your country, they need to have some kind of – they need to look healthy, and if they don't look healthy, they need to sound like they have a sound mind. This guy doesn't have any of that. It's like, why Biden's fit, but he's dementia ridden. There's no way.
And you don't think Donald Trump's diabetic? You take a look at this dude. You take a look at this dude in his golf
like,
pants.
I'll repeat myself. If you're not physically fit, you better have a sound mind.
Well, you saw Donald Trump. He doesn't look physically fit, my sister.
He has a sound mind.
That is the pits. Laverne said that's the pits. I don't know what she's saying, but okay. Christy tells Freedom Summit audience, your anger against the truth is reprehensible. Here's what happened when, and remember, he's trying to run for president as a Republican. So he goes, Raleigh? That's this happened. So he goes to this rally, and then they're booing him, basically. They're booing him. And his first remarks are, oh, it feels like home. Never good. And then his second response was, your booing is reprehensible, which is never good when you're trying to get their vote. And I was like, Hillary did that one mistake when she was leading the polls, and she called, what did she call Trump supporters?
She called them a basket of deplorables.
That was funny. And then what happened? They rallied around it. They started saying, I'm a deplorable. They made T-shirts. They rallied behind it.
Yeah, don't identify your opponent. Don't give them a word because they'll start wearing that as a badge of honor.
They will. They really will. I tried to find a soundbite, but I don't have it, damn it. So here's the story. Chris Christie was met with boos and yells as he walked on stage. This is in Florida, of course. This is Florida. Why did you go to Florida, Christy? Why did you go to Florida?
Oh, because he's not trying to win. I'm pretty sure he has a book. He's going to have a book coming out after the election. He's going to Bernie Sanders the crap out of
that. You may be right. You may be right. I agree with you. I think he's trying to get a job as a correspondent in one of the cable news channels and that kind of thing. Because he's been on MSNBC a lot. He's been on there a lot.
Yeah.
So he says, now look, every one of those boos, every one of those catcalls, every one of those yells will not solve one problem we face in this country, like a true politician, he stands by his word, and will not make this country any better. Your anger against the truth is reprehensible. Reprehensible. The crowd, mostly filled with supporters of former President Donald Trump. Of course, he's in Florida, of course. Why would you light a match? He should have went to a swing.
Because he doesn't
why didn't he go to
win.
Philadelphia? Yeah, but why didn't he go to Philadelphia, Arizona, even
Wisconsin,
Kansas? But Florida?
No, Kansas is red.
I mean, Florida, really? I guess he wanted to go right to the enemy and make a statement to Donald Trump saying, hey, there's a new sheriff in town, and I'm, you know. But it didn't happen that way. he just got embarrassed.
He had no chance to begin with.
Yeah. And in the beginning, maybe. There's enough, how do I call them, rebellious Republicans that are hidden. They know who they are. As soon as that curtain goes, look how I'm dating myself. As soon as you go into that
back and forth theater.
Speakeasy. As soon as you go to the polls, they cast their vote for Biden or Democrat, or they don't vote at all. And he knew there's a lot of Republicans are leaving the Trump cult. And he's trying to get their vote. You know who I really admire? I really admire, what's her name? I think she has a good chance. I'm not going to say her name.
Who?
Because I'm not going to say her name. She's running for president in the Republican Party, and I don't want you to trash her.
It's really easy to do.
No, she's, I kind of like her. She's coming up in the polls right now, and
oh, you're talking about Nikki Haley.
Her last, she
get
starts
the
with a
out
comment.
Here.
Is the hint is it's
get
the name
out
of
here.
A comment.
She's calling for war.
It's the name of a comment. And
yeah, Nikki Haley.
I like her. She's coming up in the polls. You know, if
why
she,
are
yeah,
you trying to send young kids, poor kids, to die? What's wrong with you?
Because we're eventually, because the world is not a peaceful place. There are people trying to hurt us and hurt our investments. And
I know,
allies.
But the difference is you're not going to be asked to go there. They're going to send kids.
They'll send me. I'm ready to go.
You're going to send
I'm
somebody.
Ready.
Oh, you're not going. You're not going anywhere.
I'm going. I'm setting up. Leave me
yeah,
alone,
yeah,
mister.
Yeah. Brian's going to be out there with a javelin taking down a tank. Yeah, that's cool.
A javelin. I'm going to load my musket. I'm ready to go. I've been alert.
Man's going to be shooting bow and arrows.
Exactly. I'm part of the musketeers. I'm getting my musket down, and the farmers are with me. Leave me alone. It's just part of just where we live. So anyway, you know, it was filled with Trump supporters, and they booed him. And Christie tried to say, when you think about the problems that our country is facing, when you think about this type of pettiness, it's beneath the process of electing the president. Pettiness, and to get the attendees to listen to him, he said, if your arguments are so great, and mine are so bad, then just keep quiet. Now, this is not the type of guy. I mean, that's what he said. Just keep quiet. And he's trying to win their vote. This is not good. Not good. Just keep quiet.
Brian, if you disagree with me, silencio.
I know.
Vote for me and be quiet.
Just be quiet. Shut up, you fuckers.
Give me,
now listen
give
to
me,
me.
Give me authority over your life, and also stop talking.
Exactly. Give me liberty or death. Okay. It's not the way to win the vote. It's not, especially in Florida. I mean, I don't know if he went to Florida to start a fight or he went to Florida to try to get elected. I think he went to Florida. He knew what to expect in Florida. He's not dumb. He's
he
not
doesn't
dumb.
Intend
he
on
must
getting
have
elected. I'm telling you that right. This
yeah.
man is writing a book as we speak, and it will
yeah,
come
well,
out the day after Election Day.
Of course. Of course.
He's,
who's
he's
not
trying to
he's
trying
days.
To end up on the New York Times bestseller list. That's all. He doesn't intend to win.
Speaking of books, what's his name's in trouble. They're asking for their money back. Meadows. Mark Meadows. Am I correct? If I'm getting
yeah,
his name right.
Mark Meadows, yeah.
Yeah, he's in trouble. They're asking him for their money back because he lied in the book. He made the mistake by going to, the grand jury, whatever. He confessed that he lied. He believed that the elections were solid. And his book, he said he didn't. So they paid him like $320,000, and he only sold 60,000 copies out of 200,000. And the sales are going down because he admitted that he lied.
Yeah.
Oh man. I feel
yeah,
sorry for
I want that to be in the heart of every American mistrust in all of these people.
Yeah,
I don't care if you're a Republican or a Democrat or independent or a libertarian, you're probably full of crap. If you're gonna step up on that stage and BS people, it's gonna come out.
Well, you know, it's really weird. I don't have the stats right now, but you'd be surprised how much a senator – I mean, they're in the six figures, but a lot of those people cannot afford – yeah, a lot of those people cannot afford to live in D.C. They can't afford housing. You'd be surprised. I mean, that's a fact, Jack. A lot of them can't afford to live there. It's true.
Yeah, you can move outside of D.C. and still have access. I mean, isn't that what AOC was complaining about? She's like, I'm over
that's
here making
she,
six
yeah.
figures, but I still can't afford it. It's like,
exactly.
Yeah, because lobbyists live in D.C. Yeah, people worth $50 million, you're trying to move next door to them? You need
yeah,
to Nancy Pelosi
yeah.
that and start rigging up those stocks.
So a lot of them make deals and write books. That's my point. You have to have a side job, only a side hustle. Not even a job, a side hustle. And that's why we're so, when you have golf course and you're influenced by Saudi money and foreign money, you know, it's hard to, you know, when they pay you $600,000 to appear. Yeah, $600,000 to appear at some kind of convention and just shake hands with so-and-so, and we'll pay you $600,000 and take a run. That, it's hard to resist it. It's hard to resist, and it's true. That goes on.
Yeah, if you have no morals, yes, it's very difficult to resist selling your soul.
Yeah, but come on, being a politician, you have no morals anyway. That's just fake.
I know.
What is it
That's
about?
Exactly
come
what
on.
I'm talking about.
Right, right. Well, you have none. You have none. Look at Jefferson. Look at what's going on with Jefferson. We can go on and on and on. You bastard. Quit raping me. Quit raping your slaves, son. That's it. So here we go. Mark Meadows, headline. So his conservative book publisher is suing him for lying in his memoirs. Come on, we all, you know, all those memoirs, all those books about Trump, all those books about Obama. You know, reality is boring. Here's the reality of reality. Reality is boring. You have to sauce it up. It calls
You're
show
telling
business.
Me that Hillary Clinton didn't land in Yugoslavia under sniper
How
fire?
How dare you, sir?
You're telling
no,
me that didn't happen?
No, it was a background. We uncovered it. It was an AI. She never left soil, American soil. It was a body double.
She landed like 8 hours after they were fighting in that area. That's so funny.
But it's true. I mean, I hate to pop everybody's bubble, but come on. Every book has some exaggeration. I'm not... And I think this is bullshit. I'm going to be honest with you. I think it's bullshit, and I really don't like Mark Meadows. But you can't call him upon that saying, well, you know. But he's an idiot. You have a book out. You have a book deal. Why are you – why can't you say no comment? No comment.
Oh, no, that's no what comment. Responsible people would do.
Yeah, or what did they say? The fifth? Why don't you just take the fifth? You got a book deal. Dude,
do well,
you believe the
president?
It was a simple
would
question.
Necessarily incriminate him, which is what that Fifth Amendment is about. You can't be forced to say something that would place you in a cell, or worse.
Right, right. I mean, he could have. You're a politician, for Christ's sake. You're trained to fudge the truth or exaggerate it or do what Kelly did. Alternative facts. She created that. But why are you going in and say, okay, honestly, I believe that the elections were proper and there was no, you know, there was nothing suspect about it. You just lost a book deal, dude. Just say, I take the fifth. I do believe. And if somebody says, you know what? It's funny. If you believe it, so it's not a lie. If you believe it, and this is Trump's theory, if you believe it, it's not a lie.
Well, no, they
so,
no. Their struggle is to prove that he didn't think it was true. So it doesn't matter if he
again,
believed it or not.
Yeah, but he even admitted it. If you believe it, it's not a lie. It's not that they had any kind of proof that he knew that the election
was not
bogus.
Well, that's the charge itself is you knowingly lied
right.
to cause something to happen. The burden of proof is on the people saying that you knowingly did it. It doesn't matter if he actually believes anything.
Exactly. And that's almost impossible to prove.
Yes, it is.
But yet he did. But yet he did. Here we go. Headline. Mark Meadows, an idiot. No, that's not really the headline. The headline says this is according to Mark Meadows, conservative. Yeah, low-hanging fruit. Mark Meadows, conservative book publisher, is suing him for lying in his memoirs after he reportedly flipped on Trump. And it says they're suing the former White House chief of staff. Off-season press claims that Meadows lied to it and made false claims in his book. The suit comes out to report that Meadows flipped on Trump. I think that has something to do with it, too, about book sales. I think if I was a publisher, Trump had this hardcore base. And even he lost the popular vote, but as far as the electoral votes are concerned, well, even the popular, no, I'm sorry, the popular vote he only lost by, what, 4 million maybe? Was it 4 million votes? It was kind of close. I don't have it in front of me. But you have a strong, you got millions of people voted for Trump. And I think if you ask me, I think this publisher is a bitch. And because they really did it because he flipped on Trump. That's the truth. All those readers are not going to go to his book.
Who was the publisher?
When he flipped on. Who was the publisher? They want to. They don't even mention the publisher. Wow.
Interesting.
You could probably find in this article they don't, but you could probably find out who it is. They just said the publisher. You're trying to hide his. It's easy to find out, though. Here we go. On Friday, All Season Press, the independent. Oh, okay. All Season Press is the publisher, the independent publisher of Meadows' memoir. It's called All Season Press. They filed suit against the former White House chief of staff, alleging he can't have both ways. In All Season views, Meadows can't reportedly tell special counsel Jack Smith that he warned Trump against claiming the election was stolen, only to write at the length in his memoirs that Trump really did win. Can't have it both ways. Well, he had Jack.
All Seasons Press is an online thing.
Is it
I
really?
Could write a book right now. Yeah, it's an online.
Seriously?
Yeah, so I could write a book right now and get it published through All Seasons Press.
Let me see. I wonder if I can make a call to the independent publisher.
Do you want the phone number?
Do they have a phone number? I would call them All Season Press.
Here.
I wonder.
855
You're writing a book, Josh.
I'm just saying.
You know what? I'm going to make a call to them, not tomorrow, Wednesday. I'm going to make a call to them because I got a feeling if they're an independent online publisher, a suspect. I don't know. Really? Well, anyway, you heard the story. I can go on and on and on. Jack Smith.
I believe it.
Yeah. So you can't lie to the council and say, you know, Biden won fair and square, but yet you put in a book that you believe Trump won the election, and so you're talking to Jack. Jack is the guy. Jack, you know Jack. Don't mess with Jack. We learned a lesson. Anybody named Jack, you don't fuck with. What's your name, dude? I'm Jack. Whoa, I don't know you, dude, but I'm stepping away from you very slowly because Jack does not fuck around. You name a kid Jack is serious, man. That's a serious kid.
No. You got that wrong. You name a young boy Sue.
Nowadays, you know what? Nowadays, I don't know, Jack.
They're
going to
throw him a freaking parade. They're going to throw him a parade.
Right. Nowadays, he could be the queen of the ball. Nowadays, he's cool. With the new millennial thing. Here's the Josh and I were talking about what Trump did for the economy. And I pulled this up. How well did the economy perform under President Trump? I mean, we'll pull it up. And here
before
it is.
COVID.
This is the court.
Before COVID.
Well, we'll see. Before, I don't know. I'm going to play it right now. It's only 2 minutes. Here we go. How well did the economy perform under Donald Trump? See if it plays. But right now, my computer is acting a fool. So I don't know if I can get that. Until it settles down, I don't know. I didn't think he was good for the economy. I don't know where. I don't think Reagan was good for the economy. I think Reagan let in a lot of drug dealers for the economy because he was doing, you know, he was selling weapons to the drug dealers for information. Who knows? It's funny how the Republicans will hang their hat on Reagan. Reagan, with his trickle-down, trickle-down economics. We didn't get shit. But by the time we got ours, $1.50. Here's a little change for you people. Here you go. I got it in my pocket. He just put the lint out of it. He just pulled out a pocket. Here you go, and just threw it up in the air. Go ahead. That's your little trickle-down economics.
It's that grandpa. I got a nice shiny nickel for you.
I know. That's what it was. And it's like, why are you hanging your hat on Reagan? It wasn't the best.
When it comes to Reagan, obviously he's talking about tax cuts, and then he raised taxes like a bunch of times.
Right.
No, but there's something great that he said. He said the scariest words in the English language are, "I'm from the government and I'm here to help."
That's true. And how old was Reagan, though? Reagan at that time was the oldest governor. He was in his 60s. He wasn't in his 70s. I think he was 65.
An old buck.
Was he older than the 60s when he became president?
Really? I don't know.
No.
He must have been in his 60s, yeah.
Yeah, because Biden's the oldest president we ever had. He had to be in his late 60s, maybe 67, 68. He had his problems, too. Okay, here we go.
He made that joke in the debate. He said, "A lot of people talk about my age, but I'm not going to go after my opponent for lack of experience."
Exactly. Which won him the election, by the way. I mean, that erased the age thing. From then on, nobody talked about age at all. And if they did, it was a joke, his joke. All right, here we go. How well did the economy perform under Donald Trump? I'm thinking it's going to play. I'm not quite sure. I'm crossing my...
Just 8 days, it is time for our final Trumponomics report card for the quarter. This is where we measure, or Rick Newman measures the economy under the president, compares it to the six previous presidents. So, Rick, the question is, how did he do?
Trump earned a grade of C for the economy that he is leaving his successor, Joe Biden. So, as you pointed out, we measure the Trump economy. We use data from Moody's Analytics and measure the Trump economy on six different metrics compared with prior presidents. On three of those, Trump has the worst record of any of the seven presidents we look at going back to Jimmy Carter in the 1970s. He's got the worst marks for total employment, for exports, and for real GDP per capita. And that is obviously, those are developments of the last 9 months since the coronavirus layoffs and the pandemic has led to all these business shutdowns. But on three other measures, he's actually doing remarkably well given the situation. On earnings, he has the top marks of any of the seven presidents. That's average hourly earnings. And then on manufacturing employment, he is fifth best out of seven. And on the stock market, the S&P 500, he's also fifth best out of seven. So love him or hate him, Donald Trump, you might think he deserves a D or an F on the economy. Not so. He passes, if you will, with a middling grade of C.
Pure speculation here, not data-based, Rick, but I'm curious. Do you think history will be kind, given the good marks you've just shared with us in totality with this president as he goes out of office?
Definitely not. History is not going to be kind to President Trump. I mean, there have been many presidential historians, even before the race.
Well, there you go. Now, that was taken, to be honest with you, January 13, 2021. There you go.
Can I toss something out that people might want to consider? Learn how to make stuff with your hands, sell it for cash, and don't pay taxes on it.
Now the tax fraud people just left the studio. Josh, stop it. You're killing my audience.
Oh, man. No, I literally, I made two bedside tables with a hidden compartment. I just sold that for $800. I'm not paying taxes on that.
Well, that's your answer right there. Take it or leave it. That's your answer. You know, people can spin it the way they want to spin it.
All politicians are full of crap. The politician the closest thing, if you're going to keep that American mentality, the closest thing when it comes to politics is the one that promises to leave you alone the most?
Well, that's not going to happen.
I know that doesn't happen. I know that everybody promises.
Yeah, but
either
they
promise to leave you alone or they promise to give you free stuff.
That's true. That's true. And the truth is, whether we like the person or not, and this goes with Donald Trump, and this is my opinion, whether you like the person or not, you vote for the person that helps your agenda personally. And that's it. And not all people are going to agree with their agendas. Each individual has their own agenda, but you kind of vote for the person, whether they're good. And this is why this thing about Trump, he's a bad person or he should be in fraud and then he raped somebody, blah, blah. People don't care about that. You know, and here's the sad truth. I think Josh would agree with me. Our morals in this country has went to hell. We don't care about morals anymore. The right thing, do the right thing. The right thing is us to survive in this inflation. You go to the store. I went to the store last weekend. Hamburger, California, $19 for a 5 pound of hamburger. I'm not kidding.
Wow.
Bread. I remember. Okay, I'm an old dude. Okay, but I remember bread used to be like $1.15. California, it's $4.75. It's not unheard of for anybody to go shopping. If you have a family of four, it's not unheard of that you're going to spend $150 anywhere you go.
I don't know. I go to Aldi and Ruler all the time. That's where we shop. So I can get a little pound of hamburger for like a couple bucks.
Oh, that's great. No, I'm saying that's great. I mean, California, we got the transportation tax. We got this tax. It used to be Massachusetts used to be the worst. You know, they used to call it Taxatusetts. California, people are leaving California in droves. I can see the wagon trail and the dust is getting into my apartment and I have to shut the window because the wagon trails, you know.
Do you remember U-Haul was having this problem and they were hiring people? Because people were leaving California so frequently that they were literally putting out ads. Can you drive this U-Haul back to California?
I believe it. I believe it. They say it was astounding. I read it. I said it about a month ago. If you were a single person and you're making over, if you made $70,000 or less, you are considered poverty in California. You qualify for food stamps. Yes, in Redding, too. Where did you pick out Redding?
Really?
Who do you know in Redding, California? My God. Nobody talks about Redding, California.
My buddy Evan lives in Redding.
Oh, okay. Yes. And even in Redding. I mean, you know.
He's making 60 plus, and he's fine.
Is he doing good? Then he's doing
very
good.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
He's doing very good. But even if you make 60 plus and you have a family of three, you're in trouble in California. You really are.
Oh, absolutely. He's a single man. He's a bachelor out there. He's fine.
Right,
he's
right.
Fine because he could live in a cardboard box so long as he has a big screen TV with surround sound. He's fine.
But it is sad. It is sad. It's rough, man. Dude, I'm going to give you an idea. I'm not going to tell you where I live and how I live and where I live. If anybody asks, where does Brian live? I live in a Walmart box on a good corner of Beverly Hills. So I technically live in Beverly Hills.
He's that guy in the zoot suit that keeps asking.
Exactly. Exactly. You leave my cart alone. I have a cart. I push my belongings anywhere I want to. But what I'm saying to you is to move into an apartment in a good area, let's say in the suburbs in the good area, it would cost you $5,000 for a deposit. That's just a deposit. That's first and last. And when you're all done, you would have to have $5,000 just as a deposit before you move in. Then they'll run
a
credit
room
check.
Closet.
You're exactly right. You are exactly right, Josh, and that's not a lie. No storage, and you're going to be paying for parking. They're going to charge you for parking for $100 a month, and they're going to charge you for your trash. And if you have a pet,
that reminds me.
Oh my God!
That reminds me of when I lived in Chicago off of Roosevelt. in my early 20s, and I was paying $3,000 a month to live in a studio apartment.
Right.
Yeah, no, thank you. I will take the house.
I mean, and then your rent will be $2,000-something a month. And Josh is right. And this is a one-bedroom, to be fair. It's a one-bedroom, but it's a small one-bedroom. And it's a California one-bedroom, meaning, well, it could be a New York one-bedroom. You saw the New York, same thing with New York. When those apartments in New York, I mean, God, they're like a little matchbox.
And, you literally have a bed. You could fit a single bed in that room, and then bathroom, your kitchen, it's on the wall. It's one of those Murphy you have to fold out.
It's not a Murphy kitchen. What do you think is your kitchen? You pull down your kitchen from the wall. It's not a Murphy, but no, you got bed. You got a bedroom, but it is tough. I mean, that's if you can't afford a home. So if you want to get an apartment in the suburbs or away from, you know, so much crime, you're expecting to pay $2,500 a month. But to move in, it's like $5,000 to move in. And then on top of that, you got to pay a pet fee if you have a pet. If you have more than one pet, you got to pay a fee for each pet. And for trash, you got to pay that fee. And then for parking, you got to pay $100. Now they went up to $100 a month for parking if you want your parking space. So, and that's how it is. So I remember when I was a student and you're adding up. I was so happy when I first got my apartment. I said, oh, okay, my apartment back in the day. Oh, it's only $750. It's only $750 a month. And $750 a month at apartment back then was pretty damn good. You know, you're in a good neighborhood and you're whatever, blah, blah, blah. Then I wanted cable TV, so they added that. Then I wanted my electricity. Oh, of course they added that. Then I wanted gas. Of course they added that. You get where I'm going with this. That $750 turned into $1,500 real quick. You know what I'm saying? See, people are not thinking. So people go, oh, $2,000 a month apartment. Okay, I'm away from crime, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. All right, let's turn on your lights. You got that. The water. Please, in California, I'm going to tell you this, Josh. We had a really hot summer. Very hot. It got into the hundreds. And it stayed into the hundreds for a while, a week, 2 weeks, you know. So you turn on your air conditioning because it's just so hot. It's just so hot. Okay, finally, you turn on your air conditioning maybe 6 times. That's it. If you go more than 6 times, let's just go 6 times. 6 times that week is a hot week. Then you get a bill of $450 for your air conditioning. That's what you get. And you just turn it on 6 times. Six times. It's not like it's constantly flowing. Your bill would be $400 to $500 that month. It really will. So that $2,000 turns into $25 quickly. That $25 turns into $3 quickly with your TV and your Yahoo and your Hulu and your cell phone and your car payment and your insurance and your food and, your electricity and your gas and whatever. That $2,000 turns into $3,500 real quick. And you're thinking, wait a minute, you're dead. Yeah.
No, it's the same thing as the fall of the Roman Empire. You give them just enough to entertain them. Mm-hmm. You can have your bread. You're going to pay more. You're going to have your water.
Right.
You're going to pay more. Yeah, right. But are you not entertained?
Are you not entertained? Of course you're entertained. It's like a wagon train. You see your friends who live next to you go across. You know, you see them. It's like a wagon train, but I call it with your cart. They put all your belongings in a cart. Now you're homeless, and it's like a trail of homeless carts going by, parading, going by your house. And that's not funny, but it's true. It is.
You walk out your door, and it looks like a thriller video. I'm just saying.
It really does. But we can laugh at it, but people don't know what it is to live in California. And we're not counting if you had children. I don't have kids. I mean, I do, but, it's through my girlfriend's children, and I call them my kids, but I don't have any biological kids. But what I'm saying is, that's if you don't have kids. Can you imagine how expensive one kid is going to school and getting his, you know, his needs to be met in school and babysitting?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I mean, it's
I'm
just,
aware of that.
This is why, yeah, kids are expensive. Condoms are a
yes,
lot cheaper than kids. I figure that economics. Kids or condoms? Okay, condoms are going for, what, 12 bucks? Kids are going for life, all my money? I'll take a box. And then they grow up to put you in a home. No, I never heard about condom box put you in an old folks home. But
I've made that joke with my mom. I told her, I was like, I can build you, you know, a one bedroom apartment in the back. If you want to live with me, you can live with my sister. You can live with my brother. I was like, but I don't want to hear any of that sass, so you're going to a home.
You know, I think all kids threaten their parents. We're gonna put you in a home now. I think that's a threat.
Yeah, you're gonna get real comfortable with tapioca. That's gonna be your life.
You're gonna love. I worked one time. It was the summer. I worked one time in an old folks home, and it was the wrong move. I should not be there. I don't have a temperament. So I was working there. I was working as a driver. Okay, I'm just a driver. I just transported these people, from, you know, here or there, take them in.
Doctor's appointments and whatnot, trips to the mall.
Right. You know, they had to go to the store, whatever, or their doctor's appointments. That was my job. So they made the mistake. They said, Brian, can you help us out? I go, what do you want me to help you out with? Can you call Bingo? I go, what? I'm not lying. I swear to God, I am not going to exaggerate this because it's crazy as it is. I said, you want me to call Bingo? Yeah, call Bingo. You go up to the convention floor over here, and all you have to do is just roll the ball and call out the Bingo. Well, I could do that. I get there, and these people are cranky. They are not patient. They are cranky. They are upset. They're in a chair. Their arm hurt. They work. I was 5 minutes late, and they're ready to lynch me. And I'm not kidding you. One old fuck, I was 80 years old, is saying, I remember the old days. He would be hanging by a tree by now. Yeah, he actually said that to me. I swear.
Hey, man, they survived the Great Depression, a couple World Wars, and you're over there.
I know. You old fucker, I got to win now. You don't yell at me. You're not trying to hang the Bingo guy. But they were that upset.
They're going to turn that into Hangman.
Oh, I know, really. Without the letters, let's just hang them. But they were that upset. And I'm thinking, oh, people, they're nice. And then the women were even worse. I said, okay, I'm here now. Everybody settle down. I swear, I'm not even exaggerating because it's crazy as it is. Settle down. I'm here to call your Bingo. Shut up and turn the numbers. Easy, lady. What's your name? I'm Margaret. Now turn the number, you fool. I swear to you. I'm turning it, Margaret. Take it easy. I'm cleaning. I'm doing the thing. And I call the number. I swear to God. I don't know. I think I needed glasses at the time because I don't think there's a D in Bingo.
This is news to me.
I know. It was a B, but it looked like a D. So I'm turning it. I swear to God, Judge. D42. You should have seen the look on their faces.
Just some grandma sitting in a wheelchair sharpening her pitchfork.
Oh, yeah. They wanted to run over me on their chair. They yelled, there is no D in Bingo. I mean, B42? That's better. Swear to God, it went bad from there. D42, you fool.
Yeah, those slow paced games, man, you can't really win no matter what. Because no, and the people that really get pissed off are people that have won before, and they're so confident.
I know.
I've done that at my church.
They. Oh my God, it was serious. It was serious shit there. I mean, it was like they were gonna hang me. I mean, there was this. Wow. And then they couldn't hear.
Well,
they
invested that entire day to that action, to that Bingo game.
They did. D42? What the fuck? Get out of here.
All you hear is a shotgun being cocked.
You must be from New York City. Oh, my God. It was horrible. Biden team plays down poor numbers. Biden's getting them numbers. Here it is. Here you go. These are Biden's numbers. This is why you should be worried, and this is why I think Trump will be the president of the United States, I swear. Here we go. I think I can hear it. Let me see. My computer's acting up, folks. I know. My computer's acting up. It's not doing good. And it's playing, and I'm not hearing.
76% of adults in this poll say the country is headed in the wrong direction. Only 23%, less than a quarter of the country, say that we're headed on the right track. And the issues that are animating voters' frustration, it's almost unspeakably vast and broad. Economy, 74% of Americans say it's very important to them personally. 69% say the same about inflation. Those are where they stand today. Political Director Rick Klein is here to break down the results. And, Rick, the poll confirms what we've been seeing, voters in a sour mood. Yeah, George, voters are just plain frustrated across the board. 76% of adults in this poll say the country is headed in the wrong direction. Only 23%, less than a quarter of the country, say that we're headed on the right track. And the issues that are animating voters' frustration, it's almost unspeakably vast and broad. Economy, 74% of Americans say it's very important to them personally. 69% say the same about inflation. Those are issues in our poll that tend to favor Republicans. Voters say they trust Republicans more than Democrats on those issues. Other issues, including health care, abortion rights, a little bit lower on the priority list, but at least now tend to more favor Democrats.
Neither Joe Biden nor Donald Trump popular.
Yeah, and this is such a remarkable moment in this country, George, because a year from the election, it looks very likely that Donald Trump is going to be the Republican nominee. He's the front runner, and the Democratic nomination is almost assuredly going to go to President Biden. But people don't like either one of these men. Look at this. Only 33% of the country now saying they have a favorable opinion of Joe Biden. That's one-third compared to half of the country that has an unfavorable view. And Donald Trump's number is even worse. 29% favorability compared to 60% who say they view him unfavorably right now. And in this poll, George, we asked the what-if question. What if the nominees aren't Biden and or Trump? What does that do to your vote? On the question of Biden, 29% of Americans saying they're more likely to vote for a Democrat who isn't the current president. As for Donald Trump, 31% say they're more likely to vote Republican if the nominee isn't Trump. And in both of those cases, the number of independents even higher. About 38% in both of those matchups say they're more likely to vote for that party if the current frontrunner is not the nominee.
And we've got some key state elections this week.
Yeah, and I want to focus on the state of abortion rights in this country, George, because we talk a lot about it, and it could be determined by the results in a couple of key states. The green states here are states where abortion remains widely legal and available. The red states are where it's banned, orange and yellow, somewhere in between. And we've got gubernatorial races in two.
Oops. Uh-oh. Wait a minute. I think I lost him.
Hold you on. Broke it.
Hold on. Somebody lost it. Well, there you go. I can't.
Hey, I got a text. Okay. My guy got a blowout in Lawrence, so I need pick him up.
Huh? I'm sorry, I didn't hear.
I said my guy got a blowout in Lawrence on his way to Topeka. I need to go pick him up. I can put it on speaker and mute myself out.
Well, it's okay. Hey, Josh, thanks for coming in, man. I enjoyed it. We had a good discussion today. Be safe, my friend. Be safe.
Always.
And,
always.
Right. I'll talk to you soon. Take care, my friend.
Yeah, hey, everybody, don't trust politicians.
Yeah, no kidding. Or radio host who talks about politicians. Be safe, my friend. Take care. And that's Josh, everybody. I want to thank Josh for coming in. We might have a short show today. Thank you, Josh, for coming in today. And I know Pat is in the studio. She's still there, but she's not, she's only listening. She raised her hand. What do you know? There's a hand that went up. Let me see. Patricia?
Yeah.
Hello. Hi.
How are you?
Pretty good. Josh is still. Josh can't talk, but he's on his way somewhere. I think he went to pick up his child or his kids, so he can hear you. I know you love Josh. I do know you love Josh, Patricia. I like Josh. Josh cracks me up. He has some facts, but he cracks me up. I had.
Yeah,
He's one of a kind, that Joshua.
He's interesting.
How was your weekend, kiddo? How was your
weekend?
Oh,
really good. Well, it was my birthday Friday, so we got really high. And
did you get your happy birthday wish from me? Did you get your happy birthday wish?
Yes, you did. Thank you very much. I'm sorry
I
missed Friday, but I was sleeping and nobody woke me up.
Oh, no. Don't worry about it. I finally found the thing, and you're not interested in it. Don't worry about it. I want to play something for you. I know you can't talk. You have company there, so I don't want you to be away from me. You know what?
She's gone.
Oh, was it your niece?
She just left. Yeah.
How's she doing?
She's doing.
Okay.
She didn't want to talk.
I didn't want to talk,
unfortunately. But
yeah, I understand.
She's going through some stress with her mom. So.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, especially during the holidays. I hope it doesn't get any worse than that, you know.
Well,
because the holidays
people just shouldn't have to live together and the state of finances up there. You know.
I want to play something for you. Wait a minute. I can't play this. I want to play. Maybe I can give you something uplifting. Hold on for a minute. I want to play something for you. I haven't played it in a while. And it reminds me of your niece. I know she's going through a hard time. I'll tell you what. Let me see. It's something... Something nice. I got to take another break because I got to answer a phone thing. But I want you to listen to this song for a minute, and I'll be right back. Okay, Pat? I want you to listen to it because it's uplifting.
Okay.
Going on with the great silence?
Pardon?
So what's going on with this radio silence?
I don't know. It's crazy, isn't it? He said
how
he
you
had
doing,
to
ma'am?
Take a phone call. I'm fine. How are you?
Oh, I just loaded a 28-foot extension ladder to the top of a pickup truck, so. Eh.
Oh, fun. Wow.
How are things up there in the gray, white north?
Pretty good. It's a beautiful day today.
Yeah, no, we're feeling
it
down here, too.
About 60.
Yeah,
we...
No, it was freezing cold and then really hot and then really cold, and now it's just like normal weather for the season.
Well, it's strange. It's actually too warm here for what the season is, so... We can't get it straight over here, you know, and then everybody gets rain but us. I think it's because I live beside the canal. It fucks with the clouds. So we don't get rain.
You guys are getting that Midwest treatment.
Is that what it gets?
Yeah, it's like, it could be really hot, really cold. It could snow. It could rain. A volcano could just pop up out of nowhere. I don't know. You never see it coming.
No way. I thought it was pretty open over there.
Yeah, when I was a kid, they were like, the classes to learn how to drive and everything, the driver's education, they're like, okay, what you're going to need in your trunk is a pair of boots, a pair of sandals, you're going to need an umbrella. Just like... You're going to need to deal with whatever season.
Yeah, we always have mitts and boots and shit in the van, right? Because you don't know if you're going to get stuck on the highway or something.
Oh, yeah. No, I used to pull people off of a route. There's a route between two major populated areas, and because people don't know how to drive. So they try to go down this 55-mile-an-hour road at 60, 70 miles an hour, and they'd end up in a ditch, and we'd have to go in there with chains and tie them up to our trucks and pull them out. And we had we had cases of water bottles and stuff and granola bars, and they sat in my back seat as I pulled their car out.
Yep. Excuse me. Yeah, we have weather like that too. Like we get
when
quite
I lived in Maine.
Do you?
Yeah, when I lived in Maine, it got I used to. No, I used to live in Maine, and
oh,
it
you
got
used to.
Yeah, it's really hilly, and you'd see someone try to brave a really high incline in like a Honda.
It's always fun to watch.
And you're at the you're sitting behind him in a 4x4. You're sitting behind him like, you know, I got your back when you fail. Like, I wouldn't do it with your little Honda Civic.
Holy crap.
But yeah.
I've braved some weather in ridiculous cars, but, you know. Somehow I always made it.
when I was a young buck, in my late teens, I had this little Pontiac Sunfire. That was the funniest thing. When it snowed, because I had the handbrake, we would go to parking lots when it iced over and just start drifting. Because we were dumb.
Hey,
I hit this corner.
Fun,
oh no, it was really fun. And I'm very happy that I didn't get caught doing that. Because yeah, as fun as jail sounds, but no, I hit this corner one time, and I had those little plastic hubcaps, because why would you put anything shiny on a turd?
Yeah, right.
I bounced off the curb. Half of my hubcap was laying in the road. I was like, okay. It was that moment where I was like, that's enough of that shit.
We used to do a lot of car chases, but that's before speed traps and, you know, before electronics. So I'm very old. We used to speed around the falls and through the tourists and stuff. Oh, my God. I'm surprised we never killed ourselves or anybody else. And there was no rules back then.
Yeah, back in the day with no seatbelts, no airbags, you're just going to see what happens. No, when I lived in Maine, you know those small country roads in the mountains that are like literally wide enough for a single vehicle?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, we used to kind of gun